Hello, friends. This is Andy Atwell welcoming you to Come, Let Us Reason Together. This next half hour will be dedicated to putting the Bible back into its number one place in the hearts and minds of mankind. Throughout the centuries, the Bible remained the number one book sold. Only today has it taken a back shelf position in men's lives and minds. Even Christian bookstores have more books about the Bible than the Bible itself. The Bible is the only book written by God, and in it alone is found the pathway to life. Come now, let us reason together with Gilbert Larson and his friends.
Hello, everyone. This is Gilbert Larson. We are looking into creation, so it's time to get your Bible and grab a cup of coffee. This is the 44th, I believe, in a series of teachings. We have been spending pretty much all the time before the time of Adam, and this is around the 8th or the 9th in this series. I was watching a public TV program sometime back, several years ago, and this researcher that was studying anthropology, studying the origins of man, was in a cave. And he had found bones, and he was studying what man, caveman, had eaten over the years. This was in Africa. And lo and behold, here he is lying on his back in this little old skinny cave. The ceiling was very close to him. And he observed an animal dragging, a wild animal dragging in another animal carcass and eating it. And he had realized that all of his research, this was on a public TV show. And this is a scientific show and showing people studying the origins of man. And here he had realized that all his research was nothing. Instead of him researching what man had eaten as a caveman, he was actually researching what animals were dragging in the cave and eating. So this is man's idea of evolution. It kind of reminds me, one day I took a fishing trip with my grandson. I'd gotten these inflatable canoes. They're really great. And we were fishing in this little lake in Arizona, and you could see the fish right below you, and they just were not taking the bait. And we paddled all the way around this lake, taking our time, putting the hooks in, trying all different kinds of lures to attract these fish. And he's in the boat opposite me. You know, in a canoe, you can sit face to face. And he has his arms folded, and he's like 6 years old or 5 years old. And when we're all done, he goes, "So, this is fishing." Like, you know, he was not too excited about it, but, you know, he was with Grandpa, so, you know, Poppy and his grandson enjoyed a great day together, but that would not be called fishing. So this is anthropology, huh? Anyway, going around in circles and getting nowhere, so to speak. In the year, Columbus, the time of Columbus, 2,200 years after Isaiah in the 1400s, the earth was thought by churches and by science, the earth was thought to be flat. And Isaiah wrote in chapter 40, verse 22, "It is he who sits on the sphere of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers, that stretches out the heavens as a curtain and spreads them out as a tent to dwell in." Also, in Job 26:7a, "He stretches out the north over the empty place. Only since the great telescopes have men found out that there is a tunnel through the stars in the north. Anywhere else the telescope is turned, one runs into a solid blanket of stars." Early philosophers and early scientists thought the earth was flat, and this giant pair of elephants held up the earth. And so some deep thinker, he goes, "Well, If the elephants are holding up the earth and the earth is flat, what do you suppose the elephants are standing on? Well, then they had to get real deep and they said, well, they're standing on tortoises. Well, anyway, that's man doing too much thinking. In Job 26:7, it says, and he hangs the earth on nothing, nothing that man can see. In the book of Ecclesiastes, it talks about the cycle of evaporation and the water cycle, how the water evaporates up, condenses in a cloud, drops back on earth, and so on. That's in Ecclesiastes. And the jet streams are talked about in Ecclesiastes and the trade winds. And since there are thoughts that Christopher Columbus was actually Jewish because there were many Jews in Spain, Paul himself was known to have gone to Spain. As a matter of fact, the Jews influenced the Spanish music. Did you know that? I've heard a record, and on the record it said that this music was influenced by the Jews being here. Well, there was a great persecution, and a lot of them were in Spain. And this music was gorgeous music. It was guitar, a classical guitar, not flamenco, but classical guitar and harp and flute together. It was called Spanish Nights, and it was on a record, and it said it was influenced by the Jews. And you wondered if this is not the type of music that King David played when Saul was attacked by an evil spirit. So anyway, these are some interesting scientific things that man is just finding out and God has known about. You want to hear some more? Here's another one. Did you know the earth is protected by a magnetic shield? And this is something that really became known to scientists when they started sending up satellites and turning their scopes back on the Earth and observing storms on the sun. And then this powerful energy coming towards the Earth and hitting against the Earth, but this shield, this magnetic shield, deflected the harmful effects of this solar storm. In Amos 9:6, God talks about his vaulted dome over the earth. Let's see if I can find that real quickly for you. It says, Amos 9:6, the one who builds his upper chambers in the heavens and has founded his vaulted dome over the earth, he calls for the waters of the sea and pours them out on the face of the earth. Yahweh is his name. So here's the vaulted dome over the earth, or the shields of the earth belong to God in Psalms 47:9. The princes of the peoples have assembled themselves as the people of the God of Abraham, for the shields of the earth belong to God. He is highly exalted. The shields of the earth belong to God. This could be what the Lord is talking about, this magnetic shield that protects us every day, day in and day out. Now, we'll get back into some more science and God, but we'll deal a little bit here in evolution. Now, in evolution, they have things that are called hypotheses, and they think that the earth was created by a hypothesis of dynamic encounter. And they've believed in that for about 100 years, that some other sun came in close contact with our sun and it broke away a mass of particles and the planets were created and so were the moons and so on. Well, hypothesis means we guess. Well, let's see where some of these brilliant evolutionists, these minds, get some of their ideas. I'll bet you didn't know this. This is an Associated Press article found in many major newspapers, August 20, 1999, 7 years ago. The late astronomer and author Carl Sagan was a secret but avid marijuana smoker. As a matter of fact, he even wrote a book about it. It was called, now he didn't let it be known while he was living. It is called Carl Sagan, A Life is Due Out. I think it's called Life, was this thing that he had written. He had a pseudonym that he wrote, and his name was Mr. X, about his pot smoking. Oh, it was an essay published in 1971. This is the name of it, Reconsidering Marijuana by Mr. X. Well, that was Mr. X's Carl Sagan. Now, he credits marijuana smoking with inspiring essays and scientific insight, according to Sagan's biographer. And I find that today a single joint is enough to get me high. In one movie theater recently, I found I could get high just by inhaling the cannabis smoke, which permeated the theater, wrote Sagan, who authored popular science books such as Cosmos, Contact, and The Dragons of Eden. And his book should have been called A Pot Smoker's View of the Universe. In the essay, Sagan said marijuana inspired some of his intellectual work. I can remember one occasion taking a shower with my wife while high, in which I had an idea on the origins and invalidities of racism in terms of whatever. Anyway, so he wrote a paper by being high. He was in the shower, and he was on a high, and he wrote one of his famous works. Well, what bothers me about evolution, this is from National Geographic, January 1976. It is an article on the Nautilus. Now, the Nautilus is a very interesting creature. They've got a shell. They look like an octopus or a squid inside of a beautiful striped shell. And I'm sure a lot of you know what they look like. Did you know that today there are only 6 remaining? Not 6 in number, but 6 different species of Nautilus. And according to National Geographic, about 180 million years ago, there were about 3,500 species. So let's think about this for a moment. If evolution were true, there should be more and more and more species being created all the time. And just the opposite is occurring. There are less and less and less. There used to be 3,500 species of Nautilus. Now there's only 6. So what we have is a decaying in our universe, decaying of life on our Earth. And instead of matter being created, actually there is a disintegration of matter, and scientists know about this. So it is actually just the opposite. There is a degeneration and an extinction are the rule. This is the evidence of the creation happening at one time, and because of the fall, things are degenerating. That again is National Geographic, January 1976. I've been an avid subscriber. I love it. It's great. You have to read through it because it's got a very strong doctrine of evolution in it. So I just read the facts and plug my ears I'm reading with my eyes, but I just ignore all their statements that just absolutely don't make sense. Now, the creation of water. God actually mentions that he created the heavens. He divided the waters that were on the earth from the waters above the earth. And he called that, in some translations, it's called firmament. But in the Hebrew, it's shemayim, which is space with water in it. And it talks about in Psalms 148:4, it talks about the waters above the heavens. Praise God. Praise him, sun and moon, stars of light, highest heaven, and the waters above the heavens. Praise the name of the Lord. All these things, praise the name of the Lord. There are waters above the heavens. So I was taking a class in engineering. I have to keep my licenses up, I have to go back to school every year and take so many hours of science classes or whatever. And this one doctor from NASA was teaching a class on satellite telemetry, how satellites talk back to Earth. And we make distance measurements with those satellite frequencies. They actually shoot radio signals, and we measure them, and we can tell where we are on the face of the Earth. It has gotten so sophisticated. In the last war that they had with Iraq, they literally could take a bomb and drop it right down a smokestack because of the precision. And the first people on the land that landed were surveyors. These were people with radios that could talk to the satellites, get a true position, and they became the base stations on the Earth. They were known as special forces, you know, the Rangers and so on, but they were doing survey work. So even Army people, you see, do highly sophisticated survey work. And these Rangers went in undercover, very dangerous. I have to tell you, they're alone. And it's got to be spooky out there being all alone by yourself. And your hat goes off to these people. I've met a few of them. And boy, they have to have nerves of steel to do this. And they'll bring in these little radio, I'll call them a radio receiver, but they are a distance measuring system that lays out the base. And they're able to do these precise measurements and bomb on target. They have access to more precise measurements quicker than we do in the civilian population. The Army has got the latest and the greatest. Don't think that the boys out there are not equipped with some really good high-tech stuff, because they are. Our United States Army is quite advanced. Anyway, I was taking this class, and I asked the doctor who is with NASA, and I said, oh, tell me, I've read someplace that I have seen water in the heavens. And like it says here, the water's above the heavens. I didn't tell him where I'd read it, but I had seen it actually in scientific articles too, and I wanted to just verify. And he said, it's true, there is water every place you go in outer space. And I said, well, what's it like? Is it like even, you know, like there's certain radiation that bathes the atmosphere? And he goes, no, it's lumpy. So that's lumpy is scientific, I guess. So here's another article. Oh, this is a fun one. God mentioned in Samuel, I'll read this one to you. Ooh, this is a great one. This is one of my fun ones. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he has set the world on them. Did you know that they have found an attachment? They know it now because they are using tomography. You know, CAT scans is a tomography. It's a type of way to look inside your body. Well, they, you know, to do these CAT scans to see what's going on in there, to see if there's tumors and growths and so on. Well, they're using the same technology to look inside the earth. And geologists have all these new tools, and it's becoming fun what they're able to see. They're studying this magnetic thing that comes out of the core of the earth, and it becomes the shield of the earth. The shield of the earth belongs to God. And now they actually know that there are some attachment points from the core of the earth that go up to the crust of the earth, like spokes on a wheel. But let's say, how about spokes on an orange? You got the center core, and then you got these spokes going up to the peel. Like, let's say those little strands, those white, when you peel an orange, the segments, they have those white strands that go up. And I think that'd be the best way to explain it. You have your fluid part in the magma, and then you have some attachment points. And there's some very strong indication of that. And it talks in, I just read 1 Samuel 2:8, for the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he has set the world on them. Also Psalm 75:3, the earth and all who dwell in it melt, but it is I who have firmly set its pillars. And this is an article in National Geographic, and I didn't write down the date. There's other articles that I have gotten about the pillar of the earth. Let's see if I can find them here. Also, here's another article. Maybe I can find them in my lookings about, but there was a great book that I loved reading about geology, and it shows all the new sciences are coming up with all these new great findings. Now, if evolution were the case, and the earth was created, like they said, with the passing of another star and, you know, pulled matter out, the dust would be the thicker. If there was an encounter that created a lot of, that pulled away a lot of matter from the sun, and there was this big dust cloud around the sun, and then these particles congealed and became planets, if that were the case, the denser material would be closer to the sun, and the smaller would be further away. So the bigger planets would be close, and the smaller planets would be far away. But here's an Associated Press article about Uranus and Neptune that would explain there were two planetary giants, each more than 10 times the mass of the Earth, and they are existing on the edge of the solar system. So there are many things that contradict what they are trying to say. This is the other part of the pillars of the earth. I'm going to read to you from page 95 of a book that I really enjoyed called The Naked Earth. And it says, the positions of these flux bundles led to an even more important connection. Three out of four of them appeared to be in spots where seismic tomography maps showed patches of cold material in the lower mantle. Bloxham and Gubbins suggested that the geodynamo was somehow locked to the mantle. So now they're thinking that there are pillars that lock the mantle to the core. The pillars of the earth belong to God. Here's an article in Newsweek magazine. I can't read it. I Xeroxed July something. Oops. Anyway, it's saying that a lot of scientists are turning to God. Here's another thought. Scientists used to believe in the Middle Ages that rats and flies came from garbage. All you had to do was put some garbage together. It's like a recipe. You know, if you want to make cookies, you take flour and sugar and butter and eggs and so on, mix them together, put them in the oven, and out comes a cookie. So they thought back in the medieval ages that if you take a bunch of garbage stirred up or whatever, I'm just kidding with it too, but seriously, they thought that rats and flies came out of garbage. Finally, in 1668, a scientist named Francesco Redi isolated some garbage and watched. And what happened? Nothing. So there went the rats and flies coming from garbage, but that's where science, you see, has come from, or some of the theories. Let's see if I have another scripture. No, I guess I've read all of them that I wanted to read today. And we will do maybe one more teaching on creation. And until we meet again, may God lead you into all truth.
You can contact Gilbert and his friends at www.gilbertandfriends.com. That's www.gilbertandfriends.com. If you have any questions or comments, please call me, Andy, at 360-600-6726 or Gilbert at 480-205-3346. That's Andy at 360-600-6726 or Gilbert at 480-205-3346. We invite your comments as we reason together through the Bible. Thank you for joining us on Come Let Us Reason Together and reminding you all to eat a healthy breakfast every morning. Our favorite breakfast is the Bible because it is written, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God.